Welcome to the Dames Who Dish podcast.
Gina, you're showing me your cracked freaking phone from BravoCon.
$8,000 phone. I know. Can you believe it? This piece of shit.
That phone has given you nothing but trouble.
Nothing but trouble. No. I'm looking at the hawk circling above.
What's going on? What does this mean?
Ooh. I know. It's very sad.
It's the dead phone. They are circling your dead phone.
They're circling my dead phone. I'm going to be one of those people, Anne. Like I said, I'm going to be one of those people with the cracked screen. Yes, I am.
First world problem. I don't like getting a new phone because the transfer of everything over takes me months.
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, this one in particular, you had so many issues with because you still had your other phone. Yes. You just left it at home.
Just left it in California.
If our listeners have not listened to us very long, last year when we went to BravoCon, Gina forgot her phone at home and she realized it when we were at the airport. So the first thing we did when we landed in New York was go buy her a new phone.
Headed to the Apple store. And then back to the Apple store.
24-hour Apple store. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time in the Apple store.
I know.
Way too much time. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. A
few things. I know you don't watch Big Brother, but to our Big Brother listeners, I got to talk to you guys. First off, Big Brother All-Stars ? These All-Stars are pissing me the F off. All they talk about is, I'm going to make big waves. No, none of you are making waves. You're all doing the predictable thing and you're voting the people out that are not in your alliance. And it's so fucking boring that you guys better step it up. I'm so fucking pissed. I'm so annoyed with Big Brother. I look forward to it because we don't talk about it on the show so I can watch it without taking notes. I'm so fucking bored. I'm pissed off. Kesar got voted out. I loved Kesar. He was one of the best ones. He was one of the only ones playing the game, and now he's out. So I'm fucking pissed. Boom. That's it.
Well, you're not the only one because I've heard a lot of people are not liking this All-Star season.
This is how sad I was. I teared up. Honest to God, teared up when Kesar was voted out because he's so cool, and he added a lot to the storyline. He's very deep. I really like Kesar. And him and Janelle were in a team together. Janelle got voted out first and he got voted out second. I'm just fucking pissed off. Ian, it's up to you. You don't know who I'm talking about, Gina.
I have no idea.
But Ian, it's up to you. Let's move
on. Come on, Ian.
Let's talk a little Love Island. Don't want to go deep.
Ooh.
Here's what I'm going to say about Love Island. Those of you who gave it one, maybe two watches, I feel like if you gave it one watch and you couldn't go further, you're not going to go on. This week's episodes were so fucking good.
Oh, so good. This season is so much better than last season.
I agree.
So good.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the players involved. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I think you have to get through the first two episodes to really get committed to who these people are. You're learning more about them. The first two episodes are very surface level conversation. You're getting to know the personalities a little
bit.
Now we know the personalities. And now you can really start getting deep with these people.
Well, they're all really nice people.
They really are. The gentlemen, and I say gentlemen.
Yeah.
These guys are young. I really like them.
Nice guys, mm-hmm. All of them.
Agreed.
I am so invested in the whole Mackenzie-Connor relationship.
Of course. First off, Mackenzie.
I love to hate her.
Oh, my God. I love to hate her. When Lauren, the British girl, came in and Mackenzie's like, I am not threatened by her. And behind the scenes, Connor, her quote boyfriend, is like, yeah, Lauren's my type. I'm very interested. And very quickly, Connor, who's the nicest guy ever, by the way.
Too nice.
Very too nice. He doesn't want to hurt Mackenzie's feelings.
But Mackenzie's a pain in the ass.
Mackenzie's a child.
She's a child.
And she's glommed onto him. And he was infatuated with her from the beginning.
But why?
Well, see, Connor's one of these nerd kids who grew up to be very good looking and he has a body. He's worked on his physique.
Yeah.
He's very good looking now, but he's still inside that quiet child thing. He thinks she's like this little doll, like a little brat doll.
Well, she is a doll.
Yes.
And she is a brat. Mm-hmm. But, but the face, the lips,
the bottom,
she's got such a terrible.
Yes.
Lip job.
And Gina, the bottom lip got injected twice as big as the top one.
Much.
And she can barely speak.
She has the reverse Lisa Rinna. It's awful.
She'd be so much cuter without the lips.
Without the lips. She's got the boobs.
She has no personality, really. She has no self-confidence.
She's just very immature.
Here was the best. The public voted. This new girl, British girl, Lauren, who's gorgeous, by the way, and older. She's like 28. Mm-hmm. Mature, very confident. The fans voted who she should go out with. And of course, everybody voted Connor because we're sick of Mackenzie.
Yeah, Mackenzie's got to go.
And she loses it. And that was the best scene ever. She immediately walks away. By the way, I think the scene before that, she was like, I'm so confident. Like, me and Connor are really doing well. I'm not jealous of this new girl, Lauren, at all. She can pull Connor aside and talk to him because I'm not even jealous. And then, the note card, the fans have picked for you, Connor. And she's like, why do they hate me? Why does everybody hate me?
Does this mean the fans don't like me?
Yes.
Yes. Mackenzie, yes, it does.
Exactly what it means.
They don't like you and your lips. No, she's so irritating. Great. But these girls, I mean, we talked about this before, but the with makeup and without makeup, holy shit. The amount of makeup, their skin looks beautiful when they're made up. They take the makeup off. I don't know how much foundation they must have on, but it's got to be a lot.
A few of the girls without makeup look fantastic.
Yeah.
They look better, natural.
Well, they all look good. It's just some don't have very good skin, but
no,
it's
but I feel
covered
like
up.
And you're clogging those pores with all that makeup. Jeez. How do you go? So they're not going swimming all day. They spend so much time in the mirror putting the makeup on.
So, right.
Let
from
it,
the minute they get
natural.
Out of bed, they're in that mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And they go in the pool, but from the neck down.
Yeah, they don't go underwater.
I like
confident.
Moira. She seems to be
Moira
the most down-to-earth person.
Gorgeous without makeup.
Gorgeous.
And her
she
original
wear a
guy.
Ton of makeup.
No, her original guy, you know, she kind of left him for a new guy.
Well, James was kind of clinger.
He was. I liked James in the beginning, but then I think it was a little
too much
for her.
Now, Calvin, don't like Calvin. He's a little soft. Calvin is the freckly guy that.
Oh,
Calvin,
the one
that
Moira
likes
picked.
Moira, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think he likes her that much.
I don't either.
He also really said, sure. I'm not into PDA and I'm not going to kiss you on camera. Well, what the hell are you there for?
Well, that's my question is what is Calvin? Is Calvin really
what's
into
Calvin
girls?
Into?
I'm not sure.
But it's good. People, pick it up.
I say
pick it up. It's just fun.
It's trash. Every time Troy walks in the room, he goes, oh, my God.
Once again, I will say I watch it in bed because, and the reason why I do that, because I'm not taking notes. I'm just enjoying it, watching it in bed.
I was watching it last night before I went to bed, and Troy was in the room, and he was commenting, like the commentary throughout the whole time. Finally, I just said, stop talking. Stop
I have
talking.
That happened to me last night. Dan walked in and I always get annoyed when he sits there and watches because then he does ask questions. I'm like, I'm not going into deep within these people with you. And it's a little embarrassing when he starts to really watch what I'm watching, especially Love Island. So these two were having a conversation. It was a guy. I can't remember the names now. Anyway, they're having a conversation and he really sat and he listened. He goes, so whose side are we on, the guy or the girl? And I'm like, it doesn't matter. I'm not going into it with you. He
There's
goes,
no
I just want to know. And I go, the guy. He goes, that's what I thought. But
they
it's a fun
know,
show.
They don't
it's just
know.
A fun summer show. And my brother, who does not listen to our podcast, he messages me. He loves Love Island and Temptation Island. He doesn't watch anything else.
That's
TV.
Hilarious because my brother also watches Temptation Island and Love Island.
No. What
and
are the guys like about that? Well, it's probably because the girls are in bikinis every episode.
Now, let's talk about the car wash scene. I know we're not going to get
God.
In. But that kind of made me sick.
It's a little too much. Plus, the slow-mo. Like,
these
come
girls.
On. I felt bad. I was thinking, oh, what if one is just so awkward and they're slow-moing
well,
it?
I think, they didn't show all the girls. Did they show Moira? They didn't show Moira.
No, Moira was she hurt her knee, so she was the...
Oh, so she couldn't...
She was commentating. What was she?
That's why they didn't show her.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was the host of the...
Something to be proud of, moms, those girls.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's move on. Mulan streaming on Disney. I'm very excited about this.
I know. Me too.
I'm overly excited. And my family's excited.
Now, did you get Disney Plus?
Yeah. Well, okay. No, I don't know. We have Disney. Is it Disney
Plus? Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. But we still have to purchase it.
Yes.
Which I'm happy about. I don't care.
Yeah.
Mulan is one of the Disney cartoon movies that we watched constantly. We loved it. The music was fantastic.
Well, if you have Disney Plus, they have the making of, and then they have the music with Christina Aguilera, who doesn't look like Christina Aguilera.
Oh, they have her singing behind
the
scenes.
They have her singing.
Oh my. When does it come out? It's
I'm not sure.
It's coming. It's this
promos.
Month in September.
Yeah, yeah.
Super excited. When my daughter was doing Taekwondo, when she would have to go do sparring and she freaking hated it, I'd put on the Mulan CD. We'd be like, let's get down to business to defeat the Hun.
Of course you did.
Loved it. And Real Housewives of Orange County trailer came out.
October. It's coming October 7th.
Did you see the trailer?
You know, I did. It didn't really wow me. I've done a little deep diving into, what's her name? Vargas.
Elizabeth Vargas. Who has the same name as another Elizabeth Vargas who's on TV.
Yeah. Not really
impressed.
I mean, they're going to show a lot of COVID stuff.
We're looking forward to this.
I'm not either.
It does seem like Emily and Bronwyn have a little bit of a fight.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. But of course we're going to watch it.
I know, but I'm really not excited about it.
My two favorites, New York and Beverly Hills, are almost over.
Almost over. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about our first episode of Beverly Hills Reunion.
Yeah, so let's talk about what their looks were and what did you think? Because Kyle's getting a lot of crap about her look, which I think was absolutely horrible.
Well, she said it's very dynasty. Oh, I think Andy said it. And she said, well, of course it is.
Is that the look she was going for, the 80s dynasty? The hair was so bad.
Well, we know Kyle has no style.
I mean, she's got all this money. She can't hire a stylist.
I think she likes the way she looks. I don't get it. I'm not a fan. I also was not a fan of Garcelle's look.
Was not either.
Mm-mm.
The feathers, it looked very cheap.
Yeah, and like the headpiece, the gold headpiece.
Like Cleopatra?
Yeah, a little. I didn't like it.
No.
Dorit's, I thought Dorit looked pretty. Dorit's always looked pretty, but sometimes she goes a little overboard. I thought she was very subdued for Dorit. I thought she was really pretty.
She was subdued. She had the glam, you know, she posted pictures.
Of course she did.
As she does.
And by the way, we saw these pictures a while ago, but now we're seeing.
Yeah.
I kind of like the before the glam and after the glam. That was fun.
Yeah.
I thought Teddy with the purple hair. I didn't
love
mind
her
it.
Pink hair.
Didn't mind it.
Nope. Love it. Yeah. Rinna, you know, whatever.
Rinna looks the same, different wig.
And Sutton looked very proper and conservative, yeah, as she does.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't
mm-hmm.
expect anything less. And Denise was pretty in pink, although a lot of comments about.
No. Denise to me.
Look like a hot mess.
I hated it. I hated the pink lipstick that matched
the pink lipstick dress.
The face, her face looks so done up. She looks like she's been through it.
She was having an allergic reaction, Anne, to the powder.
She was. Is that what she said?
That's what she said.
No, did she really say that? Is that why her eyes got really red?
Yeah, she said her eyes got really red because the powder. She's allergic to powder. But I'm like, you're an actress.
Actually, that's what it looked like. So I'll give her that.
You know? I'm not so sure that was the reason.
Also, I can't figure out Erica. She looked like a little brat doll, which I saw that was going around before. Her eyes were so big. I don't understand how you get your eyes that big.
I think they were so big because nothing else on her face was moving.
Oh, is that what it was?
Nothing moved on her face. Her lips were moving, but nothing else moved.
Mm. I think she's pretty thin also because of Chicago. She kept that weight off. So she looks very thin to me.
Does she?
But we'll talk about her.
The hair was fine.
I thought she looked pretty, but it didn't look like her. It looked weird.
Well, maybe she's had some work done.
Actually, my son did say he thought she was not attractive. And I was like, God, I think Erica's beautiful. But he was like,
You know what? Troy said the same. He didn't.
Really?
Didn't think. And he thought she was a lot older.
See, that's the thing. We get used to looking at these ladies. So we get used to their look.
That's true.
Hmm. Anyway, Garcelle's jewelry was from Asha, which is really funny. Was that a little bit of a diss when she talked about Asa's jewelry and that Asa has the best caftans and she was wearing one earlier and then they zoom over to Kyle and Kyle's face, which is kind of like, whatever.
I think it was. I think it was an underhanded little dig.
I think Garcelle's clueless when she says stuff like that.
She can be, but I think she's also can be very calculated.
Interesting.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I feel like I barely know frickin' Garcelle. She was very confusing this reunion.
Well, she was kind of confusing now that you look back. She was confusing
quite a lot.
Yeah.
She says one thing, does something else, and then it's a reunion. She was against Kyle, for Kyle, apologized to Kyle.
With Garcelle and what she said on Watch What Happens Live, this is kind of a bullshit story.
Totally.
That the reason why she said Kyle was the least friendliest was because that was the only name she could remember.
Yeah, she was a little tipsy. and she's never been on Watch What Happens Live before.
That's bullshit.
You're a professional actress. You can have a few drinks and say things off the cuff, but I also feel like you say a few true things.
Well,
she
was said that.
Going against Kyle for, I still don't understand why. Why you can dislike Kyle for many reasons this season. I don't understand why Garcelle did.
I don't either. She's either intimidated by Kyle or because Kyle's an actress too.
Mm.
Kyle has a lot of money.
Interesting.
But she's done it multiple times. She did it at her award ceremony where she was being recognized. Mm-hmm. She's done it all through. Well,
and she even said, Kyle asked, why are you so mad at me? Why do you dislike me so much? And she's like, what you said on Twitter. And they showed what Kyle said on Twitter. It wasn't anything against Garcelle. It was, why do you not like me, Garcelle?
No. She had a thing for Kyle and nobody knows
why. Yeah. And I understand Kyle's confusion because she's like, we were like getting along. We're having fun. They showed them having fun, having good conversations.
And I can't see Kyle picking on anyone. And she made a point to say that maybe she did ignore Garcelle if she was having a conversation with someone else and it wasn't about Garcelle. Maybe she didn't pull Garcelle, but I don't see Kyle being a mean girl where she's intentionally keeping someone from a conversation or icing her out.
No, I do think that Kyle tends to spread her conversations thin when she's places. Yeah. And sometimes that could be jumping from one to the other. So I get that.
But if you don't want to talk to someone, you don't want to really talk to someone.
That's right.
So be it.
Yeah. What's a big freaking deal?
If you're not interested, you're not interested.
Okay. So what about the conversation, though, that Kyle said that Garcelle didn't pay? She at the charity thing, she pulled up the paddle.
Yeah. That was a kind of bullshit move to embarrass her like that. But I was reading Kyle put on Twitter and on Instagram that she wanted to address her calling out Garcelle at the reunion over her not paying for the donation to the Children's Hospital. And she said, to be clear, everyone who made a donation at my event paid that night. Now, when you go to an event like that, normally you do pay that night.
You do.
Right?
You always go to the back room. You make your donation.
Yeah.
On Garcelle's side, I don't think she did it on purpose. I don't think she didn't pay on purpose. Kyle says that she asked her a few times. There was a few phone calls made. Maybe not from Kyle personally.
No, it was Kyle's assistant.
Of course, saying, hey, are you going to pay? And there was no response, and she hadn't paid. Now, since this has aired, she's paid.
Yeah, so Kyle is saying that her assistant, multiple attempts were made to reach out to Garcelle, but they went unanswered. She didn't mean to pick on Garcelle, and there was zero pressure for her to donate. So then the question is, well, did she just do it for the camera but didn't really intend to donate $5,000? Now, Garcelle went on Instagram Live and she said it was a complete oversight and it wasn't intentional, but she never said whether or not she paid.
Well, she paid after this reunion. I don't know.
It's a fine line because it's hard to know exactly.
Well, you know, when you're filming something like this, there's a lot going on. Garcelle is very busy. And that's what one of Kyle's things was like, you were never with us because you were always doing stuff.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I understand an oversight of not paying. But this has been months.
It's been months.
And I believe that Kyle's assistant had reached out to Garcelle. I don't think Kyle would lie about that. Should Kyle have brought it up in this setting? Well, probably not. But when you're being attacked, Kyle was being attacked.
I agree.
So what was the one thing she kind of had against her? You're attacking me, yet you said you would donate to this charity and you never fucking paid.
Yeah, she pulled a NeNe Leakes. Paid Kenya. It was not a good look for Garcelle. Now, me personally, now I'm not busy like that. But if I have a debt to pay or if I owe someone money, that's the first thing I want to do is pay
get
them
it off.
And not. Now, especially Garcelle, if she's donating to a charity, I would think, oh my God, I do not want these people to think I'm not paying.
And to not pay that night, understandable. You didn't know. You forgot.
Didn't have your checkbook.
Correct.
Whatever.
But when somebody's contacting you a few times, Garcelle's response to Kyle was, you're lying.
And that was a bad move because you know
that there's receipts.
I have a feeling she kind of knows her finances and $5,000 isn't chump change. I mean, she's not living in Beverly Hills.
I agree.
She knows where her money's going.
Yes, and that is a lot of money. I mean,
what she should have said was, oh my God, if that is really true, it was not my intent. I'll have to get with my accountant and look into it because I had every intention of paying. I thought it was taken care of. Like, she could have made up something that kind of pulled her out of it.
I mean, here's the thing. If it was somebody else of the cast, Kyle would have said that to anybody else.
Yeah.
So why are people pissed that it's Garcelle?
I feel like she could have handled it so much better than saying, you're lying, and then come back and say, oops, I didn't pay. Maybe say, you know what? I am not sure. It was not my intention. So I don't know what happened there, but I think it could have been handled probably better on both ends.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to see. But we need more Garcelle. We want to see more Garcelle. So we can really get to know her and understand her character.
And Garcelle was the first one to reach out to Erica, whose son is a police officer.
Right.
And that was an interesting way that Erica said that.
Yes.
Like, yeah, you were the first person who did reach out to me.
Yeah, that was kind of a dig.
I know, it was
ladies.
Like, well, wait, what are you saying? That the rest of the ladies should have done it before Garcelle?
Well,
yeah.
Or just done it,
or just
period.
Done it, period. Did they not do it at all?
No.
That's what I wonder. She said you were the first person to do it.
I thought she said she was the only one.
No, she said you were the first person who did.
Oh, so maybe they... Well, I mean, you know, timing.
Timing. Okay, let's talk about Sutton a little bit, because Sutton really held her own against Dorit.
I loved it.
Same.
She went, and Dorit really didn't have... She didn't really have a fight.
No, I liked reliving that scene, because I really kind of forgot about it with all this other Denise shit going on.
Yeah.
I forgot that Dorit totally misrepresented Sutton's reaction at Lisa Rinna's daughter's things. And for Dorit to be like, I am very close to Lisa's daughters, and I wanted to make sure that this event went okay. What?
That's a bunch of bullshit.
What? You're very close to them? Since when?
Well, we talked about how weird it was when it actually happened that Sutton said she was going to freak the fuck out because some makeup... Was it a makeup person or hairstylist or something was there?
Yeah. And she actually didn't say fuck out. She said, I'm going to freak out.
Yeah. Because Sutton doesn't say that.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't say the F word. We do. Dorit does. Everybody else does. She does not.
And Dorit did blow it out of proportion.
And they showed her blowing it out of proportion.
But I love that Sutton said that she admits to looking like a snotty asshole.
Yes.
Which she did.
She did.
Totally.
I think... With Sutton, I appreciate her honesty in rewatching herself, because I feel like we would all do the same thing. Like, oh
totally.
My God, did I really do that? You know,
totally.
We talk about this constantly. The reason why we're doing this podcast is if we had a YouTube channel and we were doing this live, the roll eyes I do, the facial expressions, no, I'd be out of here.
Yes, it would not be good.
Okay, but then when Teddy tries to get involved.
Teddy just needs
to shut the fuck up.
Just sit there,
Teddy.
And look cute in your pink hair, Teddy.
Yeah,
we
that's
don't
it.
Care.
When Sutton said to her, you know, I thought you were boring in the beginning and you being pregnant, we got it. It was
dry humor.
Funny. All the ladies liked it. Teddy was just fucking pregnant, emotional. Then for her to come at the reunion and go, we got pregnant, was such a hard thing to do. And here you make fun of me because I'm pregnant. Oh, shut up. That's what? Not what she was doing. You're also 20 fucking years younger than these ladies.
Exactly. And she should have just turned to Sutton and said, shut the fuck up,
yeah,
Sutton.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Laughed it off.
Yeah.
Come on. It's not
handle
that
yourself.
Handle yourself.
Okay, let's get on to the Denise shit. Because then it was all about Denise and Lisa Rinna. Wow.
Well, Lisa was vicious, man. Denise had a rough first reunion. Now, we know she walks off, and hopefully it's in the last...
This is her
episode.
Second reunion.
No, I mean
first episode
of this reunion, three-part series.
Oh, I think she started out kind of like, oh, it's not about me, and she was happy.
But Denise was stepping all over her words. She came off as such an airhead. She couldn't formulate any kind of argument to defend herself.
Mm-mm.
She did not
Here's
have it
how
together.
I felt. Denise rewatched the season. She took notes, and she's like, what are these people going to get me on? Because everything... they tried to get her on or bring up to her, she had an answer that she tried to turn it and skew it to her protecting her children, protecting her marriage. She was ready for what they were going to ask her, but they went off script. And then she got like, she didn't know what to say.
Well, Lisa, especially. Lisa had a real problem with Denise liking a tweet that she said was a mistake. She liked something that said Lisa Rinna should be fired. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it said something like Lisa should be fired and is a racist.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Now, probably Bravo did make her take it down.
I think so too. But here's the thing. Tweeting is a different concept.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's weird to me. I think if you're not totally
tweet savvy
on Twitter all the time, it's a weird thing. I actually believe that Denise liked what she's saying is she liked what Erica said underneath. There was something that Erica said that she liked. She thought she liked that, but what she liked, because I think Erica was defending and she thought she liked that, but what she ended up doing was liking the actual tweet that said that. But then freaking Rinna turns it around like, what you're saying is that I'm a racist and you want me fired. No, she liked it. That's all she did. She thought she liked what Erica liked.
Yeah.
And then Bravo probably called her and said, oh my God, did you see what you did? And she went, no, fuck, let me take it down.
Yeah, yeah.
And she admitted, that's why I took it down. I actually believe Denise in this moment.
Yeah, I believe Denise too.
I believe that she didn't mean to do it. I don't feel like she would do that. But then Lisa just, liar, liar, liar.
Lisa's not very well liked this season. She's just way too vicious. Mm.
I think Lisa also rewatched it and went, wait a minute. You and Sammy, when you guys had that conversation, you lied to us and said Sammy came to you and said that was very uncomfortable, which she didn't. She was laughing about it. So they all rewatched it. They were ready. They were ready to attack Denise. Denise was wrong in a lot of this season. She was one who kept bringing it up. She said I didn't bring it up all the time. You did bring it up all the time.
Yeah, she did bring it up all the time. And when Denise is talking to her kids and they're having a private conversation, who cares? What did they care what exactly was involved in that conversation?
I don't know why they kept harping on Denise. Like, we asked you what you said to your kids and you wouldn't tell us. Who cares?
Who cares? They were all trying so hard to nail Denise. And I felt like they took something so small and unimportant and they all just blew it up to something
Erica,
it wasn't.
Erica, for one, I think Erica was like, well, I better bring something because I didn't bring anything else this season.
She brought zero.
It was so stupid. You singled me out. No, she didn't. You guys got together for lunch. Denise expressed, oh shit, this happened. I feel weird. Listen, I still think Denise was trying to make herself look better because of what was going on in her, you know, Charlie Sheen shit and the custody battle and stuff like that. I think she was trying to maneuver that and make things better.
She was completely trying to do that.
But I don't think she was singling Erica out individually. Erica, you came off so bad.
You are an icy bitch, Erica, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
So,
it came off
so
horrible.
What? Yeah. Who cares? She said that her kids don't watch the show, which I don't believe for a second.
No.
But then
and
Andy,
even if they don't watch it in front of her, they know what's going on.
Of course they do. They're teenagers.
And she says they don't want to watch themselves on TV. Yeah. It doesn't matter. They still are.
They still are watching it.
Who's not going
to
watch it?
Andy asked Denise if she was trying to change her image, if that was her attempt to change her image, which I think she totally was trying
Absolutely.
To do that.
From last season to this season.
Yeah.
I think Andy's questions were direct and they were correct. We want to know, Denise, why the change this season? Why so concerned that certain things are being said? And this has nothing to do with Brandy, by the way. This is not even to Brandy.
Right. There's a whole lot more than just the whole Brandy thing.
Yeah. This is all about her trying to change who she is and trying to come out a little bit better, because maybe last season she didn't come out so great. I thought she was great. Everybody loved her.
She was great last season. This season obviously is a different spin.
And I do like that Kyle was like, don't get me wrong and don't think that I don't appreciate the fact that you don't want to talk about threesomes in front of your kids, because I would never want to do that either. But it's the way that she blamed everybody else for the conversation that was being had at her house and kept saying to them, well, I just know now to not bring you ladies around my children, and then not showing up to the family barbecue because, you know, she's concerned what the ladies are going to say. That was on Denise. She did all that.
Yeah, she did.
That has nothing to do with anybody else.
And they showed clips of that pizza party at Denise's house, and she started the conversation with some comments that were, you know,
do you
not
think Bravo was doing Denise bad? Because Denise kind of called Andy and was like, you're going in too strong on me, or you're saying things you shouldn't be saying.
I don't know. I mean, she's the highest paid housewife.
Yeah,
would they do that?
I think she deserves the questioning. I really do.
She does deserve the questioning.
With regard to this stuff, I think she deserves the questioning. We'll go on. We'll see what happens with the Brandy stuff later.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I just feel like in this case, aside from all the Brandy stuff, they just took so many little issues and blew them so out of proportion that it was strange.
It was a lot. It was just so much against Denise.
So much. And Rinna was leading the pack. I mean, Rinna said, oh, you watch, we're going to be the victim. And she was yelling,
Gaslighting.
It was so much.
So crazy.
Rinna was so ready to attack Denise.
Oh, yeah.
But why? Is it their friend? Is she like, you know, we were such good friends. You made me feel like a bad friend. I think she did, though. In Rome, when they had that conversation, I think Rinna did have a little bit like, shit, I think I am being a bad friend. And then
she was.
And she was. And she felt bad for it. But then she's rewatching the season like, wait a minute, I'm not being that bad of a friend. Denise is like pulling shit she shouldn't be pulling. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
It's messy.
It's so messy. Quite enjoyable.
We're loving every minute.
But very messy. All right, let's go to Roni finale.
Yeah, so I was highly disappointed with this whole finale until the last 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, I agree. For sure.
So Dorinda had her limp hand surgery, whatever that was.
Yeah. I think, isn't that just like a
ganglion cyst? But she called it a Bible bump.
Yeah, Bible bump. Because I had one underneath on my wrist before.
Yeah.
And they used to say if you just grab a book, you can pop it.
Oh, and you're supposed to push them. Yeah.
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 So I think that's a Bible bump. But to have that huge surgery, how big was it? I want to go back and look and see if I can see that thing. She said it was like huge, like an egg size thing.
But don't you normally see them on the outer part?
That's why I want to go back and look.
I didn't
see
any bump.
Is that why she's been so cranky this whole fucking season?
No, that's not why. Gwen was in the studio with Desmond.
Desmond Child.
Now, okay. Desmond Child really was working with Carol Bear Sager and the Barbara team.
Okay, but
as in Streisand?
Yeah, as in Streisand. And I love how Luann had to tell her assistant that, like, Barbara, as in Streisand. Barbara Streisand. Like, I know you don't know who Barbara is. No, he said that Carol Bayer Sager wrote this fucking song.
Right. Helped write that song with someone else.
Viva La Diva.
Now, how the fuck does Luann get these people?
I don't know. She surrounds herself with very talented people who are
in
the
business.
But
she's not talented.
No, but she surrounds herself with people. When she went in to record that thing.
Ooh, that was rough, man.
Here's what they do. They say, Luann, come in and sing it. She does one take and they reverb that thing. They redo the entire thing.
They auto-tune it
and it's done.
Because she was talking. She was talk singing.
Yes, of course. That's what she does.
And out of tune at that.
It was so bad. So bad.
It was terrible.
What about Dorinda gutting her old place?
Yeah.
She was gutting the whole old apartment.
Yeah, but why was Luke supposed to be her stylist?
Yeah.
Is he now her decorator too?
And also, Luke, do a better fucking job. Dorinda dresses awful. When is he styling her?
I thought he was doing makeup. Now he's her stylist.
See, I thought he was doing makeup. And we know he was with Carolyn Sansbury from Ladies of London, who is fucking gorgeous and has such beautiful style. How can you go from that to Dorinda? She's walking around wearing a Christmas sweater. I would have thought that was a joke, except I think it's her style. Nobody said anything like, oh, that's funny. No, she's really wearing that god-awful Christmas
sweater.
I
thought, okay, she's the ugly Christmas sweater is out. Is this a joke? Is she going to a party?
I don't think
so. No, I think she wore it to the grocery store.
Yeah, I think she did. So then Sonia's redoing her townhouse also.
Yeah.
Much needed.
And was it really, I mean, she's getting new carpet, but...
That's probably it. Paint and carpet.
Painted.
Paint and carpet do a lot.
Some furniture, but the bathroom didn't look like it was. Well, anything's an improvement.
Did you see the outside, like where it's located? There's a parking garage next door.
I've been there out front stalking her.
You stalked it?
Yes.
Oh, man,
yes. And
Gina.
It is right next door to a
parking
garage.
Boots on the ground. So then Leah goes to the cabaret, the pre-show. Her and her sister and a girlfriend.
Cut.
Oh, my God. Did you see Jess in the audience that used to be David Yontef's podcast partner?
How do you get tickets to that? You have to
know
people.
Of course. They are in the know.
Yeah.
I didn't see David. I saw Jess.
Very disappointed, David.
So then Sonia improved, because you know Sonia is only about improving, which is fucking amazing because
she did so
Sonia
good.
Spills it, says all inappropriate things, and I would fucking love to see Sonia live with Luann.
I think Luann's making a big mistake. I think she needs to add Sonia as a permanent
and pay her
guest.
Pay her well.
On her Countess and Friends.
Agreed.
Because we'd pay double to see them both.
Oh, I absolutely would. I did hear Leah on Jenny McCarthy. Did you hear on her Sirius XM show?
No.
Oh, she did an interview on there. But Leah was completely sick after Mexico for like the whole month of December.
Oh,
and if
no.
you saw how skinny she was, she said, oh my God, I could barely film. She was so sick.
And this is why I don't go to Mexico.
Well, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. She, Jenny McCarthy said, it's because you had ice in your drinks, which is probably true.
Yeah, but if you go to a nice enough resort, you should
still
be okay.
No.
Really?
No, you never get ice in the drinks.
So what are you supposed to do? Drink hot drinks?
You drink wine. You drink beer. You don't drink cocktails.
Oh, see, I am a girl who likes a lot of ice.
Well, then, Gina, don't go to Mexico. No, that's why you don't go.
That's why I'm not going.
Anyway, let's go to drag bingo.
So does she... She had this last year... Oh, she had a drag party at her house, but it wasn't drag bingo. Mm-mm. So this time she actually has a venue, and it's decorated, and she looked amazing.
I do like to the drag people coming in. Drag people.
Drag queens.
Drag queens coming in. She's like, are these drag queens or housewives?
I know. She's so funny.
Sonia's fantastic. Sonia cannot ever leave this show. She
no.
brings everything.
She's honest. Mm-hmm. She's funny. Mm-hmm. She's everything.
And then Dorinda walks in. What the fuck? A turban? I don't even understand what the outfit
either.
Was.
She was just having a bad hair day and she didn't want to bother, so she threw a turban on.
In my opinion,
she looked
Dorinda
like a fortune
consistently
teller.
Has a bad hair day. Bad. Doesn't have great hair.
I don't mind her hair. You have a problem with her hair, Anne? What's the problem with the hair?
Do I have a problem with her short hair? Not at all, Gina. I love really short hair like that.
At least she has a good head of hair. I don't really love the color so much.
Then Leah is wearing her 1995 Christmas dress with sneakers.
With sneakers.
Love that. What do you wear at her drag show? I don't get it. I don't even know what you wear.
I think a lot of makeup and a lot of jewelry.
I think sparkly is fine. Yeah, I don't know. I think anything goes.
Well, let's talk about Luann's.
Oh, God. That hat.
What hat that was cap. That? Like captain's hat? What? I don't understand.
Remember she had that on earlier in the season?
Yes.
Why does she like that so
did
much?
Did she wear that in her Countess and Friends?
Ooh, don't remember. I
it
don't
looks
like
familiar.
That. It looks weird. It looks ugly.
Outdated.
Yes. So Ramona shows up with straight Ron, who's creepy as fuck.
Creepy as fuck.
But Ramona is dressed just to go out. She's not having this. She's no fun. She never plays along. Ever.
No, but she's just doing a drive-by because she has plans to go somewhere else later.
Of course. Ron sees Sonia and says, yeah, we made out before, like 6 years ago at the boutique.
And Sonia's like, what? We did?
Did we? Oh, yeah. I think that
probably.
Night.
Probably.
That night I was drinking tequila. But he was like so creepy with Leah.
Well,
Leah,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Creepy.
You need somebody. It's gross. They were confused that Ramona and Ron aren't intimate. They're just friends. And I'm like, of course they're just friends because Ramona shits in fucking bed and while she's having sex and she is not intimate with anybody. That's
yeah,
why.
I think you're right.
That's why.
I
she's not intimate
right.
with anybody.
No.
She's embarrassed. She
just likes
be.
To be escorted places.
Yeah, but Ron said to Leah, you're in your prime. Yeah, no shit, Ron. She's so in her prime. She's not looking at
no,
you.
Get
you're
the
disgusting.
Fuck away.
Disgusting.
But she had
why
good.
Why do these old fucks like him, Harry Dubin, Countess Luann's husband, Tom, they're disgusting. Marry somebody like Luann, your age, that's beautiful. Not somebody like Leah, who's 20 years younger than you and can get somebody 20 years younger than her.
Yeah, but the problem is these men with money can get the young.
It's
do
gross.
Do you watch Marry Millions, Anne?
I try not to.
So then Ramona, she makes a big spectacle.
Oh, my God.
During-
well, though, that was fantastic because Sonia's like, and Ramona, you brought your straight friend. You weren't supposed to bring your straight friends. And then you brought the same boring straight friends that you always do. It's like, oh my God.
Right in front of Ron.
And I also think that she brought more friends, not just Ron.
Oh,
I think,
you think
more
so?
Of her lady friends were there. Yeah.
And we just didn't see
Ramona him. Never goes anywhere by herself.
Mona.
What's up with her being so offended all the time with Leah? And then she makes the comment about 69. I just like the way it looks. It's very grammatically pretty. Or graphically pretty.
Graphically pretty.
It's like, shut up, Ramona.
Really, Ramona?
You don't know what 69 means. You probably don't.
Of course she does. She totally does.
But then when Lou premieres her new song, oh my God. So bad.
Now, it was a little catchy, I have to tell
you. Once it got to the chorus, it was catchy.
But her voice was drowned out so heavily. By she was singing to her own track.
Yeah, I think the microphone was not even on. And
well,
she was just moving
probably
around
probably on purpose.
Oh, of course.
It has such an 80s vibe to it.
It definitely does. I was thinking the same thing. Very disco-y.
Not a good song.
No. Okay, so they do like the ending. And I'm like, there's
It's so early.
Left.
Yeah.
What's going on? The best thing they said, though, about Sonia, her townhouse facelift isn't attracting as much attention as her own facelift. Fucking love that. That was the only one that was even interesting. Anyway, then it goes to Dorinda. They're just going to take a picture. They're all having a good time. They're all cheersing each other. And then Leah says something about, you know, I want to thank Tinsley for introducing me. Ah! Dorinda, no!
Dorinda snaps.
She almost ruined our show. Oh, you don't mention pissed. Her name. I won't toast to her. Wow.
She breached her contract. Go fuck yourself.
Crazy.
She's a fucking bitch. Oh my
God. Crazy.
She was terrible. She snapped. Like, she snapped. And I'm wondering if after that meltdown, after everything that happened all season, and then that final episode, she freaking snaps. Now, maybe it's the reunion and we just haven't seen it yet. Something may have happened when they were filming the reunion. But what was it that caused Bravo to fire her ass? She did
now.
Not leave on her own.
No, I think it's the reunion. We've seen clips of the reunion where she hasn't grown at all. And she's seen the season. At this point, when they filmed the reunion, she had seen a good amount of her antics.
Yeah, but you still don't correct your behavior.
Mm-mm.
And she's not embarrassed by it.
She's not. That's what's so strange. She's never apologized for the way she's
never.
Acted.
No.
And there's no reason for her to even ever be mad at Tinsley.
No.
But then the best is Leah and Luann are sitting there and kind of talking about how crazy
Dorinda.
I can't want to say Dorit. How crazy Dorinda has been. And Luann's like, and the other thing is, if she can come to this with a broken arm, she couldn't come to my countess show. She couldn't come to my show, but she can come to the drag show.
Always about Luann.
Always comes back to Luann.
So funny.
It's kind of nice to know it will always come back to Luann.
Yes, it will always. Always. But now I can't wait.
Oh, this
reunion.
Do you know how many episodes the reunion
is? There's at
is?
Least three. You I think? Mean, if Beverly Hills has three, they have to at least have three.
Probably.
It's worthy of three. Oh,
so
they'll string it on
it's
for
gonna
three.
It's going to be so good. Let's talk Married at First Sight. Let's talk a little Nola first.
My favorite.
Oh my God.
All right. I am so excited for Wednesdays and Thursdays.
I really am too.
Don't bother
although
me.
I
don't
will
talk
say
to me.
That Maths Australia this week.
I have a lot of, we'll have to talk about that because I've got
bored.
A lot of questions
all
about
right.
that.
Okay, so let's go to Nola. I got to start with Henry and Christina. Henry and Christina, when they are showing them, I get so fucking excited about them because I know it's going to be a train wreck and I'm hoping they're breaking that fourth wall, which
they
definitely
do.
Did and do with them. So this was just fantastic. This whole episode is about having the friends over in your new place. Both of you invite your best friends. They show Christina decorating. She's all about, let's get this place decorated. I got a new bedspread. I got a new pillow. Nothing's that big of a deal. Like, she's acting like she's really redoing this whole thing. We're talking about a few things here. And then they took a few pictures and they're hanging them to get ready for their party. They're doing it on that fucking string thing. Very collegey, in my opinion.
Yeah, no,
it
is.
Not very grown up.
I couldn't figure out why she needed to decorate because it's a very temporary place that they're living in. But for whatever
not
reason.
Not up to her standards, Gina. You know that. Well. You know that. They start to chat about the party and the friends. And they're just talking about getting ready for it. And then all of a sudden, obviously, Henry's not responding the way she wants. And she's like, and end scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, fuck. And then she looks over at the producer and she's like, can you give us something to talk about here? Because I'm not getting anything. Do you have any questions you want us to answer? And I thought this would only be 15 minutes, but you guys are here a lot longer. Now, when they shoot over and they show that producer is 2 feet away from them. They are right in their faces.
Yeah.
I thought they may be back a little bit. There's the cameraman and two producers there.
No, because it's a small little apartment.
That would be so uncomfortable. So I understand at this point any of them being uncomfortable being in front of camera.
You know, I could see both sides because I can see Christina just struggling with Henry.
For
he
sure.
is not easy.
No, he's not.
He brings nothing. But you've got someone like Christina who doesn't help him at all.
No, not at all.
And she's kind of over it.
I agree with both. He gives her nothing, but she also, I mean, is it her job to bring him out of his shell? No, I understand that. But she's kind of awful at the same time. She's awful because she's frustrated. But listen, is she? We saw her on her wedding day act the same way. She's a very entitled only child syndrome.
Right, because when they were getting ready to walk down the aisle, wasn't she telling her bridesmaid, don't talk to me, don't talk to me?
And she even talked to the camera. Are we done with this now? I need to get ready. So this has been a pattern with her. It's not just Henry.
Right.
Henry's getting very frustrated. I appreciate Henry holding back, but I also appreciate Henry speaking his mind.
Well, that's kind of the best part. And she's talking about how she does everything and that she has gotten the groceries and nobody thanked her for getting the groceries and all this stuff. And Henry said, well, I took you to sushi or whatever. I took you to dinner and Michelin star restaurant. I don't remember you thanking me for that.
She's like, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Well, he doesn't remember it.
Yeah.
She needs a lot. She needs
She's
more.
A lot. Yeah.
Now, he gives her nothing. But
well, when it comes to conversation.
I still think I could get in. Like, give me Henry. I could handle Henry. She wants somebody. Gina, do we have to remind you? She's always had men who adore her.
Well, we
tell
this,
her how much she's lovely all the time.
Yeah, we hear this all the time.
So he hates her impatience.
He hates her,
but he hates her impatience. It's kind of fantastic.
Well, he doesn't like the way that she's talking to production.
Oh, no, it's embarrassing for him. And then she's like, so you've never been impatient? You've never felt that way? You've never acted that way? And he's like, no, I've been frustrated, not impatient. That was like, yes, Henry. Yes. Yeah. Finally speaking.
Speak.
Go for it. Go, 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 Henry. Then how embarrassing. He's like, she says, why can't you look me in the eyes? And he's like, talk to Dr. Pepper. I have an issue with that. Yeah, because Henry has a little something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Asperger's. I don't know if there's a little bit of spectrum thing going on there.
Yeah.
To bring that forward to the forefront. We all know this. You don't have to embarrass him.
And didn't he? I mean, I felt like he would have that conversation. Somebody, the doctor, somebody would have the conversation.
Yeah, he has a hard time with that. And not until her friends come and their friends come. Let's talk about the friends first of all. She had one friend who was fabulous.
The guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
The other two are like 70-year-old couple.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, when they walked
These are
in.
Your friends?
And it said Christina's friends. I was like, I thought it was her parents or something.
Yeah, no.
That was a little strange.
And I think the other guy was like the 70-year-old people's son. Like, can you bring your son along too, please? And then Henry has his girlfriends come and the one male friend. And the one girl said, even with friends, Henry is very guarded and it takes him a long time to open up. And she felt a little better about that. But you can tell they don't like her.
Well, yeah. And the one friend did say, listen, I'm telling you, when I was going through a really hard time, Henry was there for me. He was compassionate. He, you know, every step of the way. So I think Henry is just a really good person, but it's really hard to break down his walls.
And he lives his life very safe, and mm-hmm. he needs somebody to help him come out of his shell, but not to embarrass him.
Well, I think this is why he went on the show, because he probably struggled trying to find someone out in the real world mm-hmm. because he has a hard time making relationships. So this is probably why he decided to do this.
I think so, too. And I think his friends probably said, you should do it. You need to get out of your shell a little bit. So this is his way of doing it. And he kind of said that. This is not something I normally do. And she's like, then why are you doing it? He's like, because I was told I should. He's trying here. She's just awful. Christina.
Yep.
Christina loves to act a certain way around other people, like her friends or these other ladies when they all meet and stuff. She likes to pretend that things are a little bit different. They're not.
No. Not good. They're not good.
Henry does not like her. Okay, so let's go to Olivia and Brett a little bit. So Olivia tells her friend what's been going on, and the friend's like, you need to tell Brett how you're feeling because this money issue is not going anywhere. And she's trying really hard with Brett because he's an asshole. He is shutting down. He even tells his friend, yeah, well, she doesn't even know how to budget. And she makes all this money, but she doesn't even know what she does with it. She doesn't know what she does with it. You just don't like what she does with it. You're boring. All he talks about is, you know, it's exciting, saving for our future. No, Brett, it's not.
Not when you're in your 20s or early 30s. Yeah, you want to save, yeah, but your whole life isn't about saving,
and
then you
no
do
children.
Nothing.
Right.
Exactly.
Even his friend said, well, it is nice to be able to do things now. What happens, Brett? You're saving for your future. You have all this money later, and you can't do anything because something happens. Live a little bit.
Man,
Jesus.
Live.
I did it. I was quite impressed though, that Olivia ordered like 4 large pancakes at breakfast.
I'm like, and those pancakes looked so good.
I haven't had pancakes in like 40 years.
I don't even know, but and you know they looked hit amazing. You like a lead sinker, but just a few bites of a pancake.
Oh my God. If I could just order pancakes and have a bite, I would do that. I could not just have a bite. And her friends ordering like all the protein, which is what I would do, and looking across like, can I have a bite?
So this is not going to work out. They're just two completely different people.
They want two completely different things. And I think she's trying and she's like, hey, let's get together and help. You can help me with my budget. She's just trying. She's going through the motions. That's it.
And their friends come over and Brett's friends are loud and Olivia's friends are more quiet. And he likes to stay home.
He's chugging the beer.
Yeah, I was waiting because they kept showing him chugging the beer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? When's he going to hit the wall and just be completely shit-faced?
Well, he was just loud. And that's not like her. Although it's funny because she's very social. She talks about wanting to go out all the time and do all these things.
But low-key social.
But low-key, yeah. She just likes to be out.
She's not a jump-up-on-the-table party girl.
I guess not. I was dying when the brother walked in. I'm like, oh God, the brother.
The brother. I know. And Woody said, I mean, he had a good point. He's like, you know, he said this to the camera, not to Brett directly, but he's like, dude, your wife makes more than you. Get over it. Get
She'd
over
be happy
it.
Happy about it. If she wants to travel, she's even willing to pay a little bit for the travel.
Right. As she should.
Okay. So before we go on to the other couples, the boys and girls meet. And they were asking Bennett, like, what's going on? Do you have any issues, you know, going on? And he's like, Amelia likes a little bit different music than I do. And like, that's our only issue. It's so great. That's when you said, like, Brett admitted that she makes more money and it's kind of a little bit awkward. And then Henry's told everybody that he used the high maintenance word with Christina, like told her, well, you're a little high maintenance. That wasn't great.
And they were all,
Christina told them all, I'm just afraid that I'm going to have to do everything all the time. Going to have to make all the plans and do all the stuff. Well, sometimes you will. That's okay too. Then probably, you're in charge.
Probably most of the time.
Most of the time. I would think. Well, we know Henry doesn't like to do anything or go anywhere. Yeah. I liked it because Woody and Miles were telling Henry, shit, just go for it. You know she likes you. Like, she's acting that way because she wants you to kiss her and go for it. And he's like, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think he really is feeling her.
No, I think
that he is completely turned off by her, especially seeing her the way she reacts to production. Mm-hmm. I think he kind of hates her.
I think he's just embarrassed.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Miles and Karen.
Miles needs communication. He's trying really hard. He never knows what Karen's thinking, which, well, how could you? They haven't even kissed yet.
Mm-mm.
Before this episode, they hadn't even kissed.
That's weird. So is it just cheek kissing and snuggling? And by the way, when they kissed this episode, it was just a peck. I can't figure her out.
I can't either. She's a hard nut to crack.
Now, he's definitely done that quiz thing where what's your love language? Because he's like, words of affirmation. People who say that know what that means.
Well, I think he's just trying to figure out, like, where do I stand with her? Because I have no idea.
She didn't say anything. I like how he was honest with her and said, you know, if you tell me I look good every once in a while, that's okay. She's like, well, I'm not the type of person who's going to just say, you look fine today. It's like, why not? We get that that's not the way you usually are, but your new guy, your new husband kind of needs that. Say it.
What kind of a person are you anyway?
Yeah, what are you? We don't even know you. We can't figure you out. You're beautiful. That's all we know about you.
And I like that Miles' sister really said a lot.
It was Karen's sister.
It was Miles' sister that was talking to Karen.
Oh, that talked to Karen.
Yeah. That really stuck up for her brother saying, listen, he's a really good guy. He's a sensitive guy. He's a really good guy.
Yeah. I don't know what you're waiting for. It's not going to stop. This is the way he is. No, it was Karen's friend who said, so have you seen any, you know, personal Karen or has it been professional Karen?
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing. I think the friend said, you know, she'll drop that and become just K at some point. It's like, okay, when's that going to happen?
Yeah, how long do we have to wait?
How long do we have to wait for that? But when they were playing Truth or Dare, it was very cute, and she did kiss him finally. She kind of pushed back a little bit on the kiss, was like, all right, just kiss him. It's not that big of a deal. Oh my God, it's been a couple weeks at this point. So Woody and Amani, they had such a fun
house party. If they don't last, I'm going to be very disappointed because they're both so like chill and relaxed.
They get along so well. Even their friends are like, man, Woody, I would have never known or thought that he would be this way or be so husband-like.
Yeah.
Because he was so single, Woody. And look at him. Because he likes her. He likes her so much.
He really likes
her.
He's
so happy.
And she's just so easygoing.
I'm just going to be disappointed if something happens with them because I just like them so much.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I was so excited about the Bennett and Amelia house party. I'm like, when is Bennett and Amelia?
An eclectic group of people are going to show up at their house.
Yes.
The fact that they decided to paint a canvas, I thought was the coolest thing ever.
And so then amazing. And then they hung it and it's awful, but they think terrible. It's fantastic. Feelings on when Bennett met with his good friend in the park beforehand. This girl, by the way, was not at their wedding. Don't know why, but it's such a good friend, but she wasn't at the wedding. She seemed jealous of Bennett.
Yeah, she did seem jealous. Was she at the house party?
Yes. Yes, she did go to the house party.
Okay.
So Bennett was saying how much he likes Olivia or Amelia and how well they get along. And the friend's like, yeah, but I don't know. Like, what does she do for a living? She's like, well, she's a doctor. Oh, okay. And then it was, we may have to move and I would go with her for her residency. And she's like, oh, well, I don't think that's good at all. You have all your friends here. What about our group of friends? And we started that theater company. I think she likes Bennett. And she's a little disappointed that Bennett is married now.
Probably. You're probably right. And then they talk about Amelia finding her Noah.
That was funny.
When they were all together, all the girls were together.
Amelia goes, built a house. She's quite impressed with the building of the house, which I am too.
Tiny house.
Tiny house. The tiny house.
Without a bathroom
or kitchen.
And that's
when they said, oh my God, did you know he built you a house? A little different than the house that Noah built, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Just a tad.
Yes. Anyway, her friend that was at the house, her male friend, got
Louis
to know
or Lonnie.
Bennett a little bit. I love him. He's either English or Australian.
Yeah, he was
can't
great.
Figure it out. But he went into Amelia. He's like, love your husband. Basically was looking for red flags or something. It's like, I can't find any. He's fantastic.
Yeah. What's not to love about Bennett?
So,
but they're not affectionate. That's the only thing. They're very brother sister.
A little bit. We saw a tiny bit. Very, very tiny. But they talk about being affectionate with the friend. They say we're affectionate. Maybe it's just at night and not in front of the cameras. So that was Nola. Loving it. Very fun. I'm actually waiting for it to turn COVID. That's where it's going to
Oh, God. Can you imagine? Christina and Henry
Here's the
on
thing.
Lockdown?
I look forward to Christina and Henry the most right now.
I know.
Because it's so fucking awkward.
Bad.
It's
such a shit
bad.
Show.
It's so great. What does that say about us, Gina? Well, it says everything we already know.
Means
we love
the shit. To live in people's sad chaos situations.
Makes us feel so much better. Let's talk maths.
Australia.
At the end of this episode, we're going to put on an interview we had with Reality TV and Me. It's an Australian podcast. She is the number one maths podcast in Australia. So she's had on a bunch of the people from Australia. We talked to her about watching this in real time in Australia. There are definitely spoilers in there, but I really wanted to put this out. We did this about a month ago.
Yeah, it's
been
a while.
Because we knew about stuff, but it's such a good episode. We loved talking to her. Check out her podcast. Her name is Kirsten Moore, and she actually had on somebody from 90 Day Fiancé also. So what was her name? Erica.
Yes,
the Australian girl,
from
Erica.
Australia.
Yeah, so she's had her on her podcast. But it's a really fun episode. But we really, it's a holiday weekend. We're only going to do one show next week because we have a lot going on. Gina's daughter's getting married next weekend. So we're going to have one show next week. This is a holiday weekend. We're just going to make this a supersized show. So anyway.
Supersizing,
So anyway, let's talk a little maths.
Okay.
What were your feelings? Because you said something earlier. I said, I was kind of bored.
I mean, I have a few things to say about the dates.
Okay.
Mostly about Michelle and Steve.
Talk about the lads.
They picked up where it was the guy's night and Josh arrives and Josh and Michael talk about Yvonne and Alex and everybody's wondering, is Yvonne going to show up? And no, he wouldn't dare show up.
Well, I had totally forgotten about that. That's how long ago this all feels.
Yeah.
When Yvonne apparently told Josh and Michael to say something about Alec. She had gone out on him and they had slept together. And he's like, yeah, you guys bring it up because she's not going to talk about it. And then they do. And he acts like, I didn't tell you to do that.
Yeah, he denied the whole thing.
So they didn't know if he'd show up. Well, we know that they're all contractually obligated to show up. A lot of these ladies did not want to show up, but they did anyway because part of their contract.
They did.
These guys knew they were showing up. They knew Yvonne was going to show up.
So Yvonne shows up and Josh and Michael are just pissed. They confront him and they were going at him for quite a while.
Michael couldn't get over it.
Michael could not. And mm-mm. Michael, I got to tell you, you're kind of love.
Oh my God.
Michael, he's so funny.
Well, first of all, Reality TV and Me had Michael on as an interview. Go listen to that because it's really funny. I softened then and I think she had a little bit of a crush on him. I think when you talk to Michael, you get a crush. He's very funny. And even in this episode, when they went around to all the guys, like, who would you go out with now, knowing all these women and you had to pick one, who would you pick? Personality wise, almost all of them pick Connie. And then looks wise, a lot of them were Stacey, which kind of blew me away. But then he goes, kiss wise, Haley. Fucking hilarious. Michael, he's so funny, obviously.
He's very funny. He's very quick. But yeah, I kind of loved him.
I kind of like him.
Kind of loved him.
It's weird.
So there's a big secret out there, which we know what the secret is, but the viewers don't know quite yet.
Well, they will when they listen the interview with
Reality TV Me
after this, so you guys can listen to it then.
Listen for the
spoiler.
So then the girls, Stacey thinks she's a victim, and she, you know, confronts Haley, and they keep going back and forth.
I feel like we missed so much.
I didn't hear
Haley bashing Stacey at all. I mean, I heard them have the little conversation of like, "Hey, you're still with Michael. We kissed. That was it."
Yeah.
But then Stacey's just getting more angry and more angry. It's like, "Why are you so fucking angry? What do we miss? What part of the conversation?" She said, "I really am a lawyer." She's like, "No, you're not practicing. You graduated law school.
You went to school. You didn't pass. I don't know what it is.
I think
it's
she
not
did.
The bar.
Oh, she didn't pass. I thought she passed it, but she's not working as a lawyer."
No, she went to school, but she didn't get her license or whatever.
Oh, well,
then
you're not a lawyer, Stacey.
No, she went to law school.
If you didn't pass the test, you're not a lawyer.
But Haley's just kind of ripping into Stacey, mm-hmm. talking about how she was popping out kids at 20. And oh, God, yeah. It was crazy. And then everybody was surprised that Elizabeth was sticking up for Stacey, wondering why is she sticking up for her? She doesn't even know her.
But when Elizabeth came in, there was only like four other couples. So that's all she knows. So why not stick up for Stacey? She wasn't there for the whole Haley Stacey thing. And she asked Kathy, like, what do you think's going on or something like that? Mm-hmm. And Kathy's like, well, Haley never liked Stacey. So, I mean, I think that was just fueling it a little bit.
Unrecognizable Kathy.
Yeah. I remembered her name this time at least.
Yeah, me too. And then Amanda's there and she's talking about, well, I've never had kids, but I've got dogs. And if someone ever talked about my dog, I'm like, shut up, Amanda. Did you hear Amanda has a GoFundMe?
Well, did you see Amanda on live, her live?
No.
She went on saying that people think she has money. She has no money and she has to move out. She's homeless.
Okay, then this was the whole thing because she was defending her GoFundMe for $10,000 so she can move to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, she's saying she has to move out. And then people are attacking her saying, well, what are you doing? You're doing all these ads. You're doing all this other stuff.
Yeah.
How can you have no money? And she's like, those aren't real money. Don't get angry at me. And it's this big thing. I think what happened is she thought she was bigger than she was.
Mm.
And she doesn't have any money anymore. And now she's moving out of her place and she's going to be homeless. That's what she's telling people.
It's crazy.
It is nuts.
So then they go on their final dates.
By the way, Natasha's not there and Tasha's not there. At least yet. And they're
no, they're done because they're going on their final dates.
I know. So why weren't they there? Why didn't they have to show up?
I don't know. Good
question. And Alex wasn't there. I feel like they all were there. Natasha was there.
She was?
Well, I think the ladies, when we had some interviews, said that she was there.
Well, we didn't see her.
We didn't see her.
She had nothing to say.
This is kind of weird. Yeah. Okay, so the final dates.
Yeah. So Connie and Johnny, they are still trying to sort out their feelings, which I cannot understand.
Disagree. He is not sorting out anything. He's not interested.
She's still trying to sort out what's going on.
She wants to try to win him back. She thinks she's going to do this great date, which it was fabulous, by the way. The best date of all. I think she thought, I'm going to do all this for him and see if he likes me now. Poor Connie. They all like Connie, so Connie must be fabulous. I don't know. And then she admits to him that the reason why she put Stacey, she really wanted to just work on herself. I don't think so.
I don't buy that.
That's a little bit of a lie. She wants to make him like her.
She was going to pull out all the stops and just try to make it happen, which
didn't work.
It didn't.
He got emotional when he saw the scrapbook.
I think he thinks she's very nice and a likable person. But yeah, she made a scrapbook. She made him some kind of shorts with her picture.
Yeah, that was actually
underwear?
Really funny. They're very short shorts.
They didn't
I think they were swim trunks.
swimmies or whatever they call them.
Yeah, I forget what they call them.
His butt crack was full on showing.
He's got a nice little physique, though.
Yeah.
I still find him highly attractive.
Yeah, he's
the
cute.
The man bun.
He's cute. So that was that. Yeah. And then Casey and Drew, you know, he went out on a boat and they had dinner.
I want to know what... Who decided who planned the date? Because sometimes it's the women and sometimes it's the men. So Connie planned this one. Drew planned this one. So do they just pick out of a hat who was planning the date?
Yeah, I think production probably
told them.
Just says, okay, you're going to you're gonna plan it.
I could tell during this one with Drew and Casey, she likes him so much.
I know. I think they're such a cute couple.
Yeah, it's not, he's so different, though. He's not into any of that. He did this boat thing for her. He would never have done this otherwise.
But he was so fun. They were dancing.
I mean, they look like they have a good time. He told us in the interview that you get caught up. So even if she's really not his type, look at where you are. I mean, it was fantastic with the lights everywhere and Sydney in the background. It was beautiful. How could you not get caught up in that? I think what happens is, yes, she's not my type. And she's too materialistic for me. But look at this place. And she's beautiful.
Yeah,
so,
she's beautiful.
Yeah, I felt like she really just really likes him.
Yeah, too bad. They're, they're a very nice looking couple.
Yes, they are.
And then we go to Stacey and Michael, which I thought was freaking hilarious.
I actually really enjoyed this. I know it was such bullshit, but it was
totally
fantastic.
Bullshit. But he's so funny. So he thinks Stacey is very superficial. And so he decides she wants to go. Now, I don't know if I believe this.
It was
funny.
I think she was joking. I want to go to Dubai and shop in Dubai.
Let's go to shopping spree and blah, blah, blah.
How far is Dubai from Sydney?
I don't know.
I feel like it must be doable. If she's, even if she's joking about it, yeah.
Maybe. We don't know our geography that well.
No.
So he puts a key on a Lamborghini keychain, and she thinks that she's going in a Lamborghini, which
she's all
excited about.
Well, he tells her, wear your best dress.
And she does.
And she does.
Come to find out, her key opens a freaking Toyota Corolla that's all beat up with crap in the back seat. Now I know production did all that.
Of course.
McDonald's bags and shit. Hubcaps on the front seat. But she handled it well.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to go to lunch. Well, their lunch was a pullover on the side of the road and some kind of a bagged lunch situation. Then it started to rain.
Listen, she rolled with it.
She took it well.
She knew. And then where they went, though, was gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh. That was beautiful.
Whatever it was, overlooking the city. Beautiful.
And he tells her, though, one day your looks will fade.
I mean, it's pretty funny. I'm starting to appreciate his personality.
Are you
warming up
to Michael?
You know what it is? The rest of these people have no personality.
That's
they're not
true.
Showing anything. And after listening to his interview on reality TV and me,
he's pretty funny.
He said, everybody acts like, oh my God, are you embarrassed by what you said? He goes, no, they could have shown a lot worse of me. So I think it's funny. He's got a great personality. I don't know.
He does.
He's
he does.
Growing on me. So Sebastian and Lizzie.
That place that they went was very cool too.
Oh God.
You didn't think so?
It's very unique. I could and would never do something like that. Big cats, Gina. We know I'm not into big cats. Tiger King. No. Not
but
into the
big
cat.
But it was a glass enclosed lodge.
Weird.
It looked like it was an upscale place.
Oh, no. It looked, the idea of it is so cool. I don't want to be opening my eyes and seeing a fucking tiger looking at me in the morning. That freaks me out. They're taking a bath and the tigers are like staring at them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was weird.
Different.
I mean, it's different. The idea is very cool, but I could never do it.
Then they went out on a walk with the Carol Baskin lady that.
Carol Baskin.
With a cheetah on a leash. Are they dangerous? Do they like attack people? Because she was petting it like it was a
well, the
little
lady
cat.
Was, but freaking Lizzie was like, this is my thing. She was like afraid to pet it.
Well, I would be too.
Oh, absolutely. But if you say that tigers and all this shit is your thing and then you're afraid to pet them.
Well, it was very sweet of Seb if he really did put it together.
Of course he did not, but he's very sweet anyway. He really does
he's a nice guy.
Like her. And apparently they're still together, so. Give them that much. All right, let's end. We gotta end with Steve and Michelle.
Steve and Michelle. Now, I'm a little confused by this.
What are you confused about?
I'm confused that Michelle is confused about their relationship and where it stands. And she's still trying to get affection. And that's all she keeps talking about. When we talk to her, I'm just confused by our conversation versus what we're seeing.
Okay, so I understand your confusion. When we interviewed her, it's been 8 months.
Yeah.
since they shot this show. She's not confused anymore. But when you're in the bubble and people are telling you, she has producers telling her, Steve, oh my God, he loves you. Look at, he tells you he loves you all the time. He just has to get past a certain part. And you can do that because look at how much he loves you. So they are constantly telling her how much he loves her. He's telling her how much he loves her. He can't live without her. He can't imagine his life without her. She's confused. I get it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's easy to watch it happening and see that, like, he's not ever going to be into you. But she's living in this bubble. So I think that's where I get where now she's like, fuck, no. I mean, he never loved me. He totally made me friend zone right away. Now we know he really wanted somebody in his 30s because they show that in the
previews. Which is going to be very interesting.
Wait, did we talk about this last time that I saw Steve on that other reality show?
What other reality show?
Oh my God, there's another dating show that Steve was on.
Are you kidding me?
Uh-uh. Did we not talk about this?
No. So he's a serial reality.
Yeah, it was before this, before Married at First Sight, and he was on another show, like a blind date thing.
Yeah. Michelle may have mentioned that he was on another reality show.
Yeah, well, she thinks he's an actor.
Well, no, that wouldn't be
surprised. Which he is. He's trying to be an actor.
Well, I know, but is his age? I mean, come on. His advanced age of 52? So they go to an amusement park, Luna Park, which looked kind of rickety to me.
Luna's been around a while.
And Steve is freaking out on the Ferris wheel. And Michelle's just not, you know, she knows Steve isn't feeling it. But Steve is saying all the words, but he's not doing anything. Mm-mm.
False
you know,
hope.
But he does. He does keep telling her like these words of affirmation mm-hmm. about how wonderful she is and how much she means to him. And
I'm just not sure why he doesn't just flat out say, I just don't think it'll work because I'm not physically attracted to you. Well, he keeps telling
her
it can grow.
Feelings.
It can grow. Yeah, I guess that's it.
But it's been 8 weeks. It's not going to grow.
No.
So she thinks finally it's time to give up. She wants action. They go back to their apartment. He goes to his bed and she goes to hers. And then he comes into her room and gives her a hug. And that was the end of that.
He acted like he was doing her such a favor sleeping with her the night before. And he's like, you know, I cuddled with her and she just wants more from me. So I can't sleep in there. What is she going to do? Attack him?
He's scared. I think he's scared.
Well, that bed is very small, by the way.
Yeah, well, they're like full-size beds.
And is she wearing that sleep apnea thing?
Her mask or her hose? Her oxygen? Maybe.
Sorry, Michelle, I had to. I had to say it.
I don't know, but this isn't going to work. And no. It's just finally, I think she's coming to terms with the fact that it's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, cut bait now. But I think the production saying, you got to stay. There's only four of you left.
I would like, I mean, they said they didn't make very much money, but I'd like to know how much they actually made.
Yeah, she actually said we didn't really make any money because we had to quit our jobs. So she's saying that it evened out. Like it wasn't anything more because you had to quit your job. So mm-hmm. obviously you weren't getting paid from the jobs.
So basically their salary, nothing more.
It's a wash.
But we're getting close. So next week we get to see them watch their audition videos.
I think that's where Connie will see the big difference. Because we forget. When I was listening to their interview that's going to be right on after this, Reality TV and Me, I forgot about a lot of the stuff that happened that we talked about with her. When I was listening to it again, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about all that happened during the season, the Natasha and Mikey.
Well, remember though, this has been on since April.
Yeah, it's long.
Wasn't it April that it started? It's been a lot of
It was the beginning.
Episodes.
It's been a lot. It was the beginning of COVID. So yeah, probably April. Mm-hmm. March or April.
So we've been in this
bubble.
We've been in our own bubble for quite a long period of time.
But yeah, please enjoy this interview. So this is going to be an extra long episode. She has a lot of good information from watching this firsthand. And we ask her all about that since, you know, we're watching it secondhand almost a year later.
Yeah.
So enjoy that. Have a great holiday weekend.
Yes. Have a good long weekend. Yes. And we'll be back next week.
We will. Bye.
Bye.
I'd like to welcome Kirsten Moore from Reality TV and Me from Australia. She has the number one reality TV podcast in Australia. You have had most of the MAFS Australia cast on your show. What we want to talk to you about is you lived this experience in real time. We're just getting
this MAFS experience here, which is so much different than our Married at First Sight. So I want to know your experience. I want to know, do you watch our Married at First Sight? Which I kind of already know the answer because I listened to your podcast. But I'm just curious, what are your feelings? Because here you're an Australian. I think we stole Married at First Sight from you guys, the concept.
Is that true? I don't know, actually. Yes, I watch both. And I have to think about them as two completely different TV shows. I think that's where people get, they choose one over the other, and they just reject either the Australian or the American version because they are so different. I have to compartmentalize them in totally different parts of my brain, because in Australia, it's a lot more hectic. The show moves a lot faster. It's almost more of like a game show, like, you know, because they do this where they can choose to stay or leave. It's almost like being voted off the island, and it's not a legal marriage, because I think there's a law in Australia we're not allowed to do like a TV kind of legal wedding, so it's not as, people don't take it as seriously. It's more kind of a fun dating show rather than a marriage serious commitment, which is what the American one is, and what I like about it, because people really do try as much as they can to stick together. Whereas in Australia, if the relationship's not working, people swap couples, like they'll cheat with somebody else's husband. It's wild.
It's a little Temptation Island. Do you watch it? Do you guys get Temptation Island? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm curious now, did it start out as that, like season one? Because we heard that kind of starting season five MAFS in Australia, the change happened where it got a little more messy.
I'll be completely honest. I wasn't watching from season one, but I have noticed over the course of the last few seasons that it has definitely started. It's almost like the producers have kicked up the drama. They have been what seems like mismatching the couples. You know, if somebody says, I don't like this sort of person, they'll match them with exactly that sort of person. And it does seem to have taken a turn from really trying to authentically couple people together that are a good match, which is what I love about the US version, and really just be drama, drama, drama. And it's gone too far. This season seven, people really didn't love. Like, a lot of the fans didn't like it because it was way too drama centric, and there was nothing authentic about the relationships anymore. And that really, I hope that they've pushed it to the extreme and they will pare it back a little bit more for the next season, because you do need to be invested emotionally in the couples as well. You can't just have all drama all the time. Then it is a Temptation Island or like a Jersey Shore type show, you know, where people are just getting drunk and partying. And it, look, I love that too, but that's not why you watch these shows.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we love Married at First Sight Australia, is because it does move so much faster, but there is a whole lot more drama than on the U.S. version, because we find it kind of boring in comparison, even though it's more realistic. But, you know, reality TV shows tend to do that, because have you followed 90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah.
They've kind of kicked up the drama in that franchise as well. So we've seen it there, and it just kind of snowballs and gets more and more dramatic, and it kind of loses something in the process. So that's kind of what people are saying about MAFS in Australia this season.
Yeah. And I've definitely felt that. My co-host Jacques, who is a Married at First Sight fan, a major fan, who covered the entire series with me, he was outraged by season seven, and he was basically just screaming down the mic for everyone to go back and watch season six, which is the best season ever, according to Jacques, because it is just, it does seem to have taken it too far. But in saying that, I really enjoy the characters. You know, if you watch it for individual characters and how people get along and how they don't get along, there's a lot of fun there, and you're right, it does move a lot faster. That if you go from watching Australia to then watching the US, you do feel like it's a lot slower. That's why I think, you know, I can't watch them in the same evening. I sort of, it's like the Married at First Sight Australia is your coffee, and your Married at First Sight US is your sleepy time tea. I like it for the wind down at the end of the day.
That's very true. I mean, we get some drama definitely in ours, but it's like, it feels like it's real-time drama. The drama that we're seeing in MAFS seems crazy, and we don't see a lot of it. Everything we're hearing is done off camera. So that's why it's a little bit confusing. All of a sudden you have these couples that seem to be getting along great, and then they go to this commitment ceremony and they're like, yeah, we're out. We're like, wait, what? You were just fine. Like 5 minutes ago, we saw you fine. So there's so much done off camera. I want to ask you about that too. We're going to talk about some spoilers that we know about. The interviews that we've had with people, and you have had also with the women, they use the word abuse a lot. Sounds like there's a lot of drugs happening. I'm just curious. It seems like a lot of this was played out in the media, but nobody did anything. I don't understand that, because if that was happening here, wow, production would have been shut down. It would have been a very big deal.
It's really, I think it speaks to the juggernaut that is Channel 9, which is what it aired on here. And it's really disappointing and quite scary. In all of the interviews I've done, those terms that you've just mentioned have come up. And most people regret the show and would never do it again or recommend anybody does it. I spoke to Cowboy Dave, David of David and Haley, a couple of days ago. He'll be on, I'll be releasing that podcast next week. And he said, as far as he knows, 100% of the people that were on the show sought psychological help after they stopped filming. 100%. And these are people that, you know, a lot of them have never sought psychological help before. You know, like, that speaks to a lot of trauma going on behind the scenes. And I think also a lot of gaslighting from my experience of talking to a lot of the women is that if they did speak to a producer and say, look, this is going on or this is how I feel, they would then be sort of manipulated into, we worked really hard in finding your perfect match. You know, all of the stats say that you guys are like a 99% match. And they second guess themselves a lot, you know. And I think you've spoken to Poppy, and she has a very, very dark story of her time on the show. But she's not the only one. You know, most of them haven't spoken out publicly because of shame or they're worried about the backlash. I mean, Poppy copped it, and I fully believe her story of physical abuse behind the scenes on the show. But because they didn't air any of it, Australia just sees this girl crying on the couch and wonders what the hell's going on. She got ripped to shreds in the media. She still does anytime she speaks out. So, you know, of course the rest of the women and the cast members that are experiencing any kind of uncomfortability behind the scenes aren't going to speak out after seeing that.
Yeah, that's very true. Because one of those people, Natasha, her and Mikey, they didn't go to the commitment ceremony. They're working things out. I thought that was so smart. I'm like, oh my God, these two don't go to that dinner. Let's just go to the commitment ceremony. At the commitment ceremony, they're like, yeah, we're both leaving. So I thought, what the hell did we miss? They don't show anything. So there's all these questions, you know, of what's really going on behind the scenes.
Everything's being manipulated, right? By production. I mean, it is anyway, but.
Yeah, this season more than any other, there is a lot that is missing. We felt the same way watching it here in real time, that what just happened, you know, like you say, between a commitment ceremony and what we've seen previously, you know, they go from being lovey-dovey. I mean, especially Josh and Kathy, we see them getting along, everything sunshine and roses, get to the commitment ceremony, they're on either side of the couch and won't look at each other. You know, things like that were really confusing to us as viewers as well, and I don't have all the answers. What I do know is that there was a huge, like, there was a stage in production where they realized that all of the couples were going to, well, at least the main couples that the producers had identified as, you know, their main kind of cast members for the series, they were all going to split up and leave. So, you know, David and Haley, their major drama, Stacey and Michael, Kathy and Josh, you know, these people were all going to leave and They had to pause production for 2 weeks so that everyone could have a little mental health break. Tash and Natasha got sent to Bali, which is strange. They must have had a close friendship. I don't know why it was those two. There's rumors that they had a budding romance and they wanted to come back to the show as a lesbian couple. There was paparazzi of them kissing on a yacht. So, you know,
oh my God.
All kinds of things went down in the media that we don't get to see because they had this 2 week production break. And then I guess everyone calmed their nerves enough to keep filming for another week or two, but there's a lot that we missed and it is confusing. I completely agree. And it was a downfall of the season, I think.
During that 2 weeks, did any of that get out that production has halted for 2 weeks? People are over here. People are over there. Was that out in the media?
Yeah, it was out to a certain extent. We didn't know exactly what was going on with the couples. We just knew that they were basically threatening to shut down production with all the couples that were leaving. And that it basically would have halted the entire show. So we knew that. We knew about Tash and Natasha because that was in paparazzi. I am still confused about what happened between Kathy and Josh. But, yeah, we knew bits and pieces. I think somebody mentioned that there were a lot of drugs going on behind the scenes. That seems to be, you know, a definite through line of all the interviews that I've done. A lot of people concerned about that going on. Nobody yet has admitted to being one of the people. If there was that much drug abuse going on, I mean, I've interviewed almost half the cast, so I'm either interviewing the wrong people or nobody's speaking out yet. But I mean, if you watch the show, I think it's pretty clear who's a little bit amped up.
Well, on that note, let's talk a little bit of Michael. Did he get arrested for coke or what happened there?
I've seen a lot of images of him hanging out on street corners looking out of his mind. It's been a while because it's been about a year since it aired here. Yeah. But, you know, that was certainly something that was in the media a lot when the show was airing. But, you know, in my interview with David, and I've heard this several times over, you know, he was being asked by one of the producers into camera, you know, have you ever used drugs before? And he stares down the barrel of the camera, reaches into his pocket and a bag of coke falls on the ground. And he says, I've never used drugs in my life.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just likes to carry around a little bag of sugar or something.
Just for fun.
He has low blood sugar. I don't know. Maybe he's got diabetes. So who am I to say? But, you know, I don't know. I think he's definitely a party boy.
Wait, did you ask him about that in your interview?
So I haven't spoken.
Oh, you haven't
to
spoken
Michael
to Michael
specifically. That was David. Me that about my
oh,
name.
That was David.
No, not for Cowboy David. He's no. A clean living young gent.
Yeah, he's like gone back to being just a cowboy, right?
And gone he's lovely. He's lovely. You know, those pictures. If you go through his Instagram. There's pictures of him cuddling baby donkeys and, you know, he just seems like a really sweet guy, despite what we saw on the show, which was, for me, horrific. And I told him how I felt about the whole toothbrush scandal. I know a lot of people found it funny. And for me, honestly, I just thought, oh, to humiliate someone like that on TV, it's too far for me. But you know, nice guy if you ignore all of that.
Yeah, that was the one misstep on David's part.
He was in the moment. He was pissed. Who knows what production was doing in his head and, oh, that would be funny. Do that. You know, who knows? So you had Amanda on. And I am so curious because there's definitely a team Amanda and a team Tosh. And we heard that, well, so when I listened to your interview with Amanda, I didn't know anything about Tasha's experience or what she says happened. So I was listening to Amanda and I'm like, okay, I really like Amanda. And we did like Amanda. Watching the show, we thought Tosh was kind of awful, very cold. And then I really felt for Amanda. But then we've heard from other cast members that, ooh, Amanda was forcing herself on Tosh. How do you feel about that? Because, you know, you interviewed Amanda
I'm so torn about this as well, because initially, and look, this happens to me every time I speak to somebody, every time I interview a cast member, my perception of them completely changes and I think, oh, they're lovely, I could be friends with them, you know? But then I have to keep reminding myself of the person I saw on the show. You know, it's heavily edited, you know, there's a lot of manipulation and stuff going on behind the scenes. But I, every single person I've spoken to, I've thought, oh, they're lovely. I've come out of it thinking they're lovely. But my initial thought while watching the show was that if I was watching, especially the honeymoon where Tash was, Amanda was kind of pressuring Tash to sleep in the same bed and have affection, I thought if that was a man, that would be, there would be a lot of, ooh, I would be really uncomfortable. And right. I had that in my head the entire time, and it did make me uncomfortable watching it when I thought about it that way. And I've spoken to, I invited Tash onto the show as well, and she doesn't want to talk maths anymore, so she's not coming on. But we have had a little bit back and forth, a bit of a chat, and she seems lovely, you know. I think they were just not a good fit.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Well, Amanda, I listened to her interview with Amanda as well as Anne did, and she does come across as a very I don't know if aggressive is the right word, but a very strong woman, you know. Yeah. So it's hard to tell, but yeah, there's so much out there.
She's what kind about... of intense.
Yeah, she's intense. Super intense.
Yeah,
I want to ask you about this thing between Stacey and Mikey. Because I also listened to your interview with Stacey, and she came off lovely. Like, she was just super nice. But a lot of the cast members on MAFS on this season, her season, don't love her.
Yeah.
So do you think, and she talked a little bit about Mikey, but do you think that that actually happened? Because I saw on YouTube that Mikey did take the lie detector test, and he passed. But there was so much, it was like a shit show. There was so much going on between cast members, right?
Okay, wait. So we should preface this, Gina, that Mikey is not Michael. Mikey is Natasha's Mikey. And apparently Mikey is saying him and Stacey hooked up.
Right.
Right.
And that comes out at the final, the reunion or something, right?
At the final dinner party.
Oh, yeah. The final
Stacey
dinner
denied
party.
Denied it on your podcast.
Yes, she did. And... again, I believed her in the moment because I believe everything people are saying when they're looking me in my eyes. That's why it's very much safer for me to stay single. But I, Jacques, I said to him, like, I'm like, before I had the interview, I said, oh, I'm talking to Stacey today. And I, you know, I think I'm really going to get along with her. I think I'm really going to like her. Because I come out liking everybody. And he said, if you get along with her, you're being scammed. And I feel like I'm throwing Jacques under the bus here. But I just thought, because he has friends that worked in production behind the scenes, and he's heard a lot of different things, particularly about her and her treatment of other people behind the scenes. And I just thought, oh, I don't know. I did. I really liked her. I believed her in the moment. But again, as I was watching the show, I thought, well, why would he lie? You know? So it could have just been for the drama of the show. Nothing further has come out about that in the media. A lie detector tests, you know, Stacey would say as a law graduate that they're not admissible in a court of law. But I've watched a lot of Dr. Phil, and I've seen a lot of lie detector tests. Who am I to say? I mean, I don't know. I truly just don't know. And that's anyone's guess.
Stacey is a very interesting character because I think she portrays herself the way she wants people to view her, but that's not really the authentic her. I mean, you can tell that, right? It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, she's very measured, and she'll say herself she's very, she's got a lot of walls up, she's very held back, and that's why she did fall for Michael, because he's silly and he's kooky and he doesn't really give a shit what anyone says, and she will admit herself that that's good for her, it brings her out of her shell a little bit more, and you can understand why she's so kind of protected and holds her card so close to her chest when you know about her past with the way she lost her brother so suddenly in a car accident and the way her dad died, you know, that kind of stuff does make you kind of create a safety net within yourself and hide within yourself a little bit. But who knows, you know, sometimes people are colder as well. I don't know. She's an interesting character for me.
Yeah, for sure.
We had somebody tell us that her about her ex-husband. Do you know anything about that? That he's like head of some motorcycle gang or something like that?
Yeah, that's another rumor that's going around, and I believe it to be true that he's a gang member. And I think she might be dating somebody else. This is what I've heard. Another rumor is her new boyfriend is in a gang and he's kind of a ruffian as well. As far as I can tell, that stuff is true. I don't know the guy.
You don't know him personally?
No, I don't know him personally. I've actually never seen a photo of the new guy she's dating, but definitely the ex was running with a bad crowd. And I think, you know, she sort of liked that crowd in her youth. You know, she's got that hardcore stomach tattoo, full stomach tattoo. I don't know if you've seen it.
She was young when she's still young and she has two kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there were a lot of, especially with her ex, I would assume being in that kind of gang world, there's a lot of drugs that go on in that scene as well. I'm not saying Stacey uses it. I don't know if she uses or not, but just that kind of hardcore scene is certainly something in her past, if not her present. I wouldn't think so with two little boys now.
Yeah.
I would hope not, but
yeah.
Even though we're in California and we see a lot of plastic surgery and we see a lot of fillers and Botox, it seemed like a lot of these girls had a lot of work done. Is it even a lot by Australian standards?
Well, I would say yes and no. I just recently found out I go to the same cosmetic injector as Kathy.
Oh, excellent.
So we have a history of getting the same Botox done. It is being more normalized just to get lip fillers and Botox. That's certainly becoming more and more normal. I wouldn't say it's mainstream. It's not the same as getting your hair dyed yet, but it's certainly growing in popularity. In terms of like more extreme surgery, no, that's not common. But for me, when I watch the show, those girls that are very extreme and especially in their plastic surgery on the show or cosmetic surgery on the show, it's quite clear that their intentions were not necessarily just to have a relationship, if at all. It was more to have your face out there. And that's fine. But I think, you know, it does put the boys in a difficult situation as well. Yeah, it's growing in popularity here to self-modify.
I want to ask you about the final two that stayed together and are supposedly still together so far is Sebastian and what's her name?
Elizabeth, Lizzie.
We have heard from one cast member in particular that she doesn't believe they're really together. We have people here, especially The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, stuff like that, that stay a couple for as long as they can because they get more money the longer they stay together.
Yeah. That's interesting. I'm very intrigued. I want to know who said that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised just because Lizzie has been through the process of Married at First Sight before. She was in season 6 and has gone through a dramatic transformation, which you would have seen by now.
Oh,
in the
yeah.
flashback. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So she could understand the benefits of creating kind of a media couple in that way, I think more than anyone that's just on TV for the first time would. And look, I don't know. they were held up as the beacon of hope for the season because it has been so tragic for every other couple. But I find them, you know, very irritating. I'm sure they're lovely people and they look like they have fun together. But it is hard. It's similar to what you said about Stacey kind of having this facade. It's hard to see if this quirkiness is real. It feels like, I feel like I haven't seen who the real people are, even when Lizzie was much more, you know, the blonde hair in season 6 and, you know, the big makeup, even when she looked perhaps more fake, I thought she was more real because it was just like that's who she is. Now she's so pared back and she's like trying to kind of protect herself, and I understand why, you know, she wasn't received well by the public the first time around. But I don't know, I feel like I haven't seen who either of these people really are. And I don't know, I couldn't help but roll my eyes yesterday. I saw Sebastian post something on his Instagram, I don't know, some kind of like motivational video, and I was just eye rolling, like eyes all the way back in my head, because, you know, I don't know, what does this 6'5", attractive white male know about adversity? I don't know. I know that I'm being, you know, you never know what people have gone through in their life, but look, I didn't personally feel motivated, is what I would say.
You mean he didn't do his little like zee, whatever that robot thing is?
The robot yeah. was the worst.
I can't get past the robot. So I want to know, Lizzie last season, season 6, did people feel sorry for her?
Yes. Yeah.
So when she was represented coming back this season, there was this like from the public, it was like, yes, she gets a redo. Okay.
Yes. So I think that was a huge part of building up their story, that they had to be successful. Mm. And that could be very well be similar to The Bachelor, where they tell couples to stay together for 6 months post the show sometimes, just to show everyone how successful they have been in their match. When we know the real, you're gonna have 25 guys in front of you and not like any of them. That's the real world. Certainly my world. But yeah, I think if she had another relationship breakdown, it would have been so tragic to watch that it would make people uncomfortable. So I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had a little birdie in the ear telling them to keep this going post the show and really make the love story a big deal.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Was there anybody after the show that you felt sorry for? Like, all these women are coming out with these, like I said, these kind of abuse stories. Was there anyone in particular that you really felt like, oh my God, they really got the raw end of the deal?
Yeah, I mean, I really, a lot of them, to be honest, but the main one would be Vanessa. Her story, the way that it was portrayed on the show and in the media was that she was crazy. And I hate that word. That's such a trope, you know, to really make someone like the crazy ex-girlfriend, you know, no one acts crazy for no reason. What we saw, or I don't know, I don't think you've seen it yet, but what you will see in the coming episodes is just the treatment that she claims she experienced from Chris. And that's sort of how they framed it on the show, is that this is how she claims he treated her. And she was distraught. And you could see from what they did allow us to see, this broken woman, in my opinion. And to me, it was very obvious she went through something traumatic. They never told us what it was. They never showed us. And they framed it in a way that made her look like the crazy girl, or completely gaslit her. So I did feel sorry for her, especially after talking to her, realizing she's just such a beautiful person. And what they did to her, the producers matching her with this guy, I think, you know, I think he was probably abusive in some way or another behind the scenes. It was disgusting. And, yeah, I mean, also Poppy, just the, I think she was able to handle herself really well through, and she's also got her voice out a lot more, whereas Vanessa hasn't been able to because she's got restraining orders against her because Chris teamed up with Bronson, her ex, and her ex was what just happened to be on the previous season. And
oh, yeah,
they
that's
teamed
right.
up together to
that's
bring
right.
her down and make her life a living hell. So she hasn't been able to have her voice. And I think that restriction, when you know that you're not crazy, is really difficult to live with.
It's awful what, you know, allegedly happened to her. But what we heard also was that every single person was paired with someone the exact opposite of what they were asking for.
Right. I don't know if that's true or not. I know in Vanessa's case, what she said that she wanted, you know, because she's very clean living, she's very healthy. Health and well-being are a major priority for her. Having been paired with Chris, who she would claim is a party boy, isn't a clean living, healthy kind of guy. That for her, I think she would agree with that statement.
Yeah. So yeah. With Vanessa coming on this season, season 7, did you in Australia know that her ex was on season 6?
Maybe I'm naive, but I didn't know. I had no idea. I think a lot of people were ahead of the curve from me there because she actually was invited to be on season 6 as an intruder.
Right.
So she would have been on the same season as her ex, but I think she didn't want to come on as an intruder. And look, personally, I would have loved the drama that would have brought.
I want to move on really quick before we let you go. You had Erica on from 90 Day Fiancé. Now, is 90 Day Fiancé something new in Australia? You guys haven't seen it before?
Yeah, so we are getting this new season with Erica on, we're getting TLCs. We're just getting 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Day, which Erica is on, Erica Owens from season 4, because I guess coronavirus, everyone's stuck at home. It's like you guys getting our version of maths. We're all kind of just swapping shows, and personally, I love it. But Erica was such a delight. She, I felt like, you know, she was just so easy to talk to. It was almost like talking to an old friend. We had a giggle a lot, you know, in the first few seconds I quoted Lady Gaga, and I think that just got her on board. So we're able to have a really easy chat. And I think she's a really genuine, beautiful person, a light spark in what is quite a dark year. So I'm excited to watch the show again because I was just a fan anyway, but I have to watch it on, you know, crappy websites that are, they alter the sound, they flip the screen and, you know, probably not meant to be there. Getting
so have you already seen her season then, you personally?
Yes. Yeah, I've already seen it because I listen to recap podcasts about the show and I like to catch up and, well, you know, you can watch little clips on YouTube, but yeah, I do the dodgy and find sites where I can watch the whole thing. But at least this time, the screen won't be grainy. The voices won't be chipmunk voices. I'll actually be able to see who's talking. I'll get the full experience.
We loved her. She was fantastic.
Yeah, we actually really loved Erica. We hated Stephanie, who is her quote girlfriend on the show. In fact, when I heard your voice, you sounded exactly like Erica to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. I felt that with Stacey. When I was editing the podcast, obviously I'm a lot more, I don't want to use the word shrill, excitable. I laugh a lot more, I think. But she's kind of, when I was editing the podcast with me and Stacey, I was like, is that me or is that her?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah, it was when I first heard you. When I heard your interview with Erica, not so much, but when I first heard you, I thought, she sounds just like Erica from 90 Day, before the 90 Days. So that's a good interview if you guys want to listen to that. And I'm curious, had you ever heard of Ash? Do you know Ash? Ash is also, Ash and Avery were also on 90 Day, or before the 90 Days. He lives in Australia. Did you know about him before? Did you hear about him in the media?
I hadn't heard about either of them in the media. The only way I knew about them was from watching the show. So I hadn't been, and actually her publicity contacted me to do the interview. It wasn't something I sought out, because I guess they're trying to build more publicity for the show now that we're getting it. So I assume we'll see a lot more of them in the tabloids now that people are getting to know who their faces are. But no, nothing beforehand. Ash, I will be interviewing as well in the coming weeks. I think I'm talking to him next week. So we'll get his point of view. That's going to be an interesting one, because I didn't love everything he did on the show, whereas Erica, I was fangirling the whole time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always fun to, like I said, I'll be best friends with him by the end of the interview, I'm sure.
I can say the same, that everybody we interview, every time we talk to somebody, we're like, oh my God, we love them. And then we're like, then we watch them on the show and we're like, what the hell? What?
I forgot. They were horrible.
Now, I want to finish with, what other reality TV do you watch? Because we have Bravo here. Well, what do you have there? Like, tell us quickly your rundown of your favorite reality TV shows.
Well, it's funny because Bravo has always been my go-to, Real Housewives in particular. I'm not big on all the other shows, Vanderpump Rule and Bravo and Real Housewives, every Real Housewife of every season ever, every city ever. But I've been watching these shows, you know, since Vicky Gumbleson's First Face, you know, 15 awesome. Years or so ago.
Yep, you're with and, us. You're young. Yeah. Wow, you started young.
Half my life I've been watching these crazy bitches.
Fantastic.
You've got to do something to your brain, honestly. But I, you know, my friends now, they've just put Beverly Hills and Atlanta and what's the other one, New York on Netflix. So they've got the first couple of seasons of all of those. My friends know that I've been watching these shows for 15 years or so, and they're now texting me about cast members from the first season and asking me about Taylor's lips and, you know, Kim Richards. And I'm trying to I've actually gone back and rewatched Beverly Hills because one of my best friends got into it, so I'm like, all right, I'll rewatch it. And it was such a gift.
Oh.
But it's funny, I'm like, keep up, I've been talking about these shows for years.
Oh, we have that with our friends. Half of our friends don't watch, and we were always embarrassed because we watched for so long. We've been watching every reality show for like since day one, you know, since the MTVs.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. So when anybody says to me is, have you seen that show? I go, yeah, before they even answer. Like, yeah, I've seen it. I'm pretty sure I've seen it. The one thing we were talking about is we, at some point on Bravo, we caught some season of Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Yeah.
We loved it, but they cut it. It was like, we got season 2 and season 4 and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a rumor that Andy Cohen didn't like it. He wasn't happy with us down under.
Huh.
But they were meant to bring it back this year. It had had a sabbatical for a year and a half, and they were meant to start filming again this year. In fact, I went to a Christmas kind of dinner, New Year dinner thing at Lydia Schiavello's house.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. And Gina was there, and this was kind of a big, like, launch. They were talking about, you know, coming back and filming again, how excited they were. And they had to stop production before it even started because of coronavirus. So yeah. I'm devastated. But at least they are, you know, it's in the works. It's in conversation, because those girls, honestly, I've missed them. And I think Janet's coming back for some drama. There's one more original girl. It's not Chica that's coming back.
I love Chica too.
Yeah, she's lovely. But yeah, I mean, hopefully they bring it back. I think they did 3 or 4 seasons. I had a reading with Jackie, actually.
Ooh.
Absolute and utter bullshit. $400 later, I'm like,
$400.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I was in a place. I needed a reading, and I wanted it done from my favorite housewife. And she told me by the time I was 32, I would have two kids. I'm 31. I haven't had a kid, and I don't want children. I'm like, she told me I would get back with my ex. Still hoping, you know, he's in a ditch somewhere. Like, it's just honestly like, but at least I, you know, had the experience. I guess.
That's what you pay for, is the experience. We do that a lot. Yeah. We go to these things, we pay for the experience. We're like, oh, was that worth it? Probably not, but it's good for, it's good for the show.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. It was like, I love that show, and it would come on like what, Anne, like on a Saturday morning or some obscure,
and they would just run all of them, but it would be like the middle of the season. I'm like, wait, what did I miss? Wait, what's going on? Yeah, it was so random. That's too bad. Well, hopefully we'll call Andy Cohen, because, you know, we're in the States and we know him, so we'll let him know that we liked it. Do you get Real Time Bravo? Like, did you already get Real Housewives of Potomac?
So So if you have a Foxtel again, then you get Lifetime, and they'll put on random seasons. But I pay for a platform called HayU, H-A-Y-U.
Yeah.
And then get them in real time.
Oh, good.
So that's helpful for Australia and the UK. So that keeps us up to date with the States, because I got to be in the know.
Yeah.
And Bravo is something, my housewives, I need to watch that in glossy screen. Whereas, you know, TLC shows, you know, Love After Lockup kind of thing, it doesn't matter if it's grainy. It was already grainy when they filmed.
So we put it on a level. We put like the Bravo shows, and then we have the 90 days. Then the Love After Lockup lingers way down here, and we freaking love. We love the way down here, because it's so bad and so dirty
such trash.
Yeah. All that stuff is down in the trashy dirt.
Oh, my God. Kristen, thank you so much for coming on the Dames Who Dish podcast. You guys, go listen to Reality TV and Me. She does great interviews. You had somebody on from the States recapping Married at First Sight New Orleans.
Yes, Jessica Ann, and she'll be back with me this week. We'll be doing the next two episodes of Married at First Sight New Orleans. So, yeah, lots of fun. I mean, I started out talking to people from the States, and since I've got into Married at First Sight Australia, you know, I'm talking to people in Oz now more regularly, which is nice, because that, like we've realized, the time difference is very difficult.
Yes, it is. We're having cocktails, you're having coffee. That's how it works.
Yeah. Much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We can't wait for our listeners to hear you and follow you. And you're super fun. And we're getting more and more Australian shows. We've seen Love on the Spectrum. I binged First Wives Club. We're getting all these Australian shows now.
Yummy Mummies, that's a horrible one, but I watched every episode, every second.
Of course, that's what I do. I don't care how bad it is, I still watch it. Doesn't matter. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you. There is nothing like a dame, nothing.